we have just finished the part of what we call giving the blessing for the couple. In fact, as I have said earlier, those blessings are not something that superstition or something superhuman, supernatural. But the blessing in Buddhism is something you have to create by yourself. It is kind of all those chanting was more or less is a DIY instructions. Do it yourself. So when the monks chanted, even with the first phrase called Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa, for many who doesn't understand the Pali, it might be explaining that it is a praising of the Triple Gem, the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. But if you really understand the meaning of it, it is just saying that, first of all, when you start with your life, you have to think. You have to really cognize the reality that this world is not belong to yourself. You are not the central of this world, this cosmos. We are just a part and partial for everything. We are just a small part which spin and then made all the other things spin together. So this world is not our world. We have to live with others. So if you know that, if you realize that, yourself, there's no such thing as ego, because the ego, I, is there because there is you, there is he, and there is she. Without he, she, they, there wouldn't be I. So if you just think of everything based on I, that is egoistic view, then this is another good life. It won't be a good life because you'll be looking only from your perspective. But once you understand that you are the part and parcel of this whole cosmos, then you have to think that, okay, what is your part? And then you have to think or appreciate the others' sacrifice, contributions, which make us a human. In Buddhism, it is very clearly said that human doesn't have a human instinct. It's not like all these animals. They have an animal instinct. Because if any animals, they give a birth, the kids, the puppies, they can look after themselves. They knew that once they were delivered, they will know where is the mom's milk, and they can suck themselves, how to, and everything. They have this natural ability. But as a human, we don't have anything. When we were born, we don't know what we're supposed to do. We don't know where is the mother's milk that we can suck. We don't know anything. So we have to be helped by someone else. In the beginning, will be the parents, father, mother, and then slowly the network slowly expand to our friends and family, the school, the society, the country, the whole world. So this is the way how Buddhism look at the what you call is personhood. The personhood, actually the whole idea of a human, I would say that it is a very simplified in Buddhism in order to be a human, you need to have first thing, you need to have a hard disk, edge as a hard disk, the memory, how you keep all the memory on. And then once you have a hard disk, you need to have an understanding as a you. Understanding means that when you see things through your eyes, nose, ear, mouth, whatever it is, then you are able to bring back, check with the data in your memory, and then able to understand what is that. So you need a second part of being a human being is that you need to have this understanding ability. The third is a material. So it means that you have to able to see things through your eyes, hear things through your ears, smell things with your nose and the taste with your mouth, and then as well as all these feelings through your body. So once you have this able to kind of sensation, able to feel like that, so that is something that external connections you need to have it as a human being. And A will be the awareness. So you need to have those come together and make sense of those things. When you see something through your eyes, and then connect with your memory, and then you are able to say, that is that, what we was taught. So that is a awareness, you need to have it. And the end, the last end for the human will be the networking. So once you have all those, putting your eyes into perspective, able to see that, able to memorize, or able to make sense of those things, and then, you know, able to even create all the network and the more creativity, innovations, all those new ideas will come out of that. And that is what I call human. So that is, in Pali, is called the five aggregates. That is Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sankhan, and Vinyan. So I just put it in a very simple way as a human. And in order to become human in that sense, you need to be really realize and cognize that you are not able to live by yourself. You need to get help from surroundings all the time. Not only the human, even our trees, even our environment, our ecology. Everything is, we have to know appreciations of those things. What makes us, our life, more appreciative or more kind of meaningful. That's why Buddha says that we have to recognize, we have to realize the essence of being who you are, not as a who you are, as a part and parcel of the whole cosmos. Once you're able to look at yourself, become egoless, become a more kind of a ecocentric, not an egocentric, then once you become ecocentric, then second point you need to really develop is that, how do you manage your life in an ecocentric way then? So you have to manage your own mind. How do you manage your mind so that it won't create a problem for others as well as for yourself? So that is called arahato, you see. So meaning arahato, basically it means that kind of eliminating all the enemy. The enemy here is your mind, that is greed, hatred, and delusions. So all those things create your problematic in your life. So if you know that you have to live by the grace of help of others, in a way that you have to think, you know, whatever you do, whatever you speak, whatever you think, it should not have a bad impact upon others, and as well as this environment as well. So that is what called arahato means. And how do you do that? The third word with the Samma Sambuddho. Samma Sambuddha means, Samma means that which is able to solve the problem. Sam means that yourself, and Buddha means that knowing. So all those things you have to realize, not as a faith, not as a belief, not as someone's instructions, but you have to realize by yourself that this is who you are, and this is how you cope your life with. So in a way that if you behave differently, it will create chaos, not only in your life, but chaos with your friends and family, and then all the problem of this, what we call this human problem, human conflict, arise there. So therefore, these are the three basic principles which we chanted in the beginning, is that you have to realize, you have to learn that now you are not alone. You have to be together. And then in sense of being together, you can't concentrate from your own idea alone. You have to respect your partner's idea. So that is one thing. And then how do you manage those? If there's something conflict with your own interest, then how do you do that? So if you are egoistic, you will try to get win or victory over, you know, other party because of what you need. But if you realize that, that is another way, but that is the simple, peaceful way, happier way will be making understanding of each other, and then come to the resolution that how we go on together, how we move on together. So these are the whole idea that how you manage your life. And then as I said earlier, it is not a religious instruction, it is not any law, any kind of a precept, but it is something that you have to realize how to build up, how to cope, how to keep your family or yourself more peaceful and happiness. So in order to do that, all the chanting actually went on that there is a 38 kind of auspiciousness we have just chanted. I think we don't have time to go through all these 38 auspicious that which can make your life auspicious. But it is all about how you deal with your daily life actually. And then even if you want to have a successful marriage life and so on, those chanting, which says that you have to be develop a lot of these virtues in yourself. For example, morality, for example, tolerance, for example, kind of sacrifice, loving kindness, all those different virtues which can make your couple life more fulfilled rather than thinking of yourself. So that is a whole sort of, in a summary, what we have just chanted in the archaic language of the Pali. Last but not least, I say that Buddha's once was asked if it is how to live a couple life more happily. And at the time, Buddha says that, okay, as I said, that it is nothing to do with religion, but Buddha says that if you really want to have a very happy and prosperous couple life, you have to be very aware and keep in mind the four teachings, okay, the four principles, I would say. What are four principles? First principle is about your trust. So you have to have a equal trust. You have to keep your trust in each other in a more equal way. So if your one is more very trustable, the other party is not distrust and become distrust, then the couple life wouldn't, you know, move on. It can get on. So you have to think of your, what you call a sama saddha. Saddha in Pali, it is about, in Thai, they call it as a kwam chua, which is a belief, but it's not a kind of belief. You need to have a sort of a knowledge, kind of understanding, as an equal understanding of what you have in your life, your view towards the world, your view towards the society, and you even the view towards your religion. Because the religion here, again, it is not about the kind of having God or the grace of God. It is all about how you lead your life. That is the definition of religion in Thai language. In Thai language, the Buddhist, the word sasana, the religion, basically means that it is elimination of your mind, elimination of your negative mind. So that is all what called religion. So what makes your life suffering, what makes your life difficult, and then you are able to cope with your understanding, that is what we call religion in Thai language. It is not about paying or praying to the someone's, which is, we haven't seen that. Even the Buddha here, it is just a symbolic, because the real Buddha is already passed away 2,600 years ago, and he can't come and do anything to us. He's not a god. But we represent him as his teachings. So if you look at the Buddhas, you can see that he's always serene. He's always in peace. And that is exactly the lesson we have to learn from him, is that how we control, how we restrain our behavior, our eyes, our nose, so that we won't get in trouble. So if you are always in a serene and peace, looking after yourself, related with the others, then you are able to know that how you adjust your life to be more serene and peace. So this is all the what we say is that. So first thing is that you need to have an equal sort of a trust. And the second is that equal in morality. The morality here means that your behavior, how you behave yourself. So if someone is, one party is a, one is very alcoholic, for example, and the other one is not, then you can go together. So you have to adjust in that sense. Someone is very always in gambling, and then someone, the other one is hating gambling, and you can't get together. So you need to adjust all those things. So we said all your morality, the behavior in your life, have to adjust in a very similar way, in a similar manner, the second one. The third one is the samajaka, which means that you have to have a, what he calls contribution, the generosity, the sacrifice, you have to have in an equal manner, in an equal level. Not that one can, you know, I love him so much, so one party, you know, sacrifice a lot for one's other side, so it won't be able to go on for long. So if you, you know, if you are really respecting each other and have an equal generosity and sacrifice to each other's for your own growth, then you can go for a longer. The fourth one, the last one, will be the samapanya, which means that the wisdom, the understanding, you need to adjust all the time. Because sometimes, because of many factors, sometimes your understanding, your wanting, your sort of expectation might be not able to achieve all the time, because the other party may see differently. So in a way that you have to adjust your understanding, your wisdom in an equal level. So in a way that if you know the education or the knowledge here, it doesn't mean wisdom here, it doesn't mean that it's a university degree or whatever. It is able to understand the world together. It is able to understand the reality of life together, and then able to cross over the whatever the problem it may occur. Because as a couple, it's a challenging life, because you are living alone. It is, you can do whatever you want to. But once you are sharing your life with the other, you know, you have to realize that, you know, you can't do as you want all the time now. You know, you have to get permission from the other side. So otherwise, you'll be the problem. So these are all those Buddhist way that Buddhas taught for the more peaceful and happier life of a couple life, marriage life. So that's why it is another holy matrimony. It is kind of, you can make it holy by yourself if you behave, if you think, and respect each other. So those are the teachings for the couple life. How do you start, kind of begin your couple life by sharing everything what you got. And then in that of sharing, you have to adjust who you are. You can't have your ego as an I, as a main subject, because you have to divide your I, become a two I now. So in a way that when you think of I, you have to think that what is other party, what is other half is saying. You know, you need to have two eyes together. Only then you can walk together. Otherwise, you will have a problem and then finally end up as we have seen in this modern world, the divorce and all those things is become a very common, because you don't know how to take care, you don't know how to adjust your way of living, way of understanding the world, way of sacrificing each other, way of respecting each other. All those the monks had chanted are those teachings, and then in a way that this is a blessing for you. So it is not a blessing that the monks give it, but it is a DIY that we just gave instructions. But whether you want to follow those instructions, it's up to you now. So it is, if you do it, and then of course itself is a result, you can have it. You know, you don't have to wait for the next world, you don't have to wait for someone else, you can have it right now, here and now. So the word happiness, in that sense, it is not something that we pursue. And in English we say that pursue for happiness. So that's why we never see the happiness, we never find the happiness, because we are always pursuing. Once we get something, you want more, you want to get more all the time. That's why, you know, we are pursuing for happiness. And then that's why in English word, the happiness is derived from the word hap in Latin, which means that a luck or fortune. So once you are luck and fortune, you're always expecting, you know. But happiness in Buddhism, it is something about you have to create yourself. You have to do it yourself. Happiness in Buddhism, word sukha, basically means that it's an adjustment. It is a kind of how do you set your mindset? So if you say that, you know, like this, you are able to adjust your mind and then open your mind, and you are enjoying this time with this, you know, Japaya River and this and that, you will have a happiness. But if you are thinking that this boat making a lot of noise here, and it's become a really, you know, annoying and this and that, and suddenly this place wouldn't be another heaven, this will be a hell, and you want to go somewhere else. So this is about mindset. So if you see that that is a river, that is a way of the river, the boat is traveling, and then there's a take as a part of the nature, then no, it's become wow. You will see the different kind of boats, different kind of sounds. It's become happiness because you have your mindset. It is not because of what you do. It is because of your mindset, and then adjust yourself. And the same as in a couple life, the happiness have to become from yourself, that how do you adjust each other? And then if you adjust each other, the happiness will be there. If you are not able to adjust, then what we call is, you know, the misery will be there instead of happiness. So the whole idea is how do you tolerate, how do you adjust, and then happiness will be not something, you know, very far reaching out, but it is something very close to you and something you can develop anytime, any moment. So we wish that you have a very happy marriage life, and then not only the couples, but everyone here able to use whatever your time, understanding, as to make yourself happy all the time, instead of getting misery from all those, you know, outside influence and so and so. just what's going on, let it be. And then we just keep up your heart, keep your mind, and then move on. So this is how we teach as a new couple life. So, yeah,